Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take another morning here on the things that are happening all around us because we have to be awake. The Lord told us to. Jesus told us to. He told us to watch the Jews, and he told us to watch the nations. Now, the Holy Ghost is power. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, power is supposed to come into your life. Power to do things. Power to pray in the Holy Ghost and things happen. Well, the Holy Ghost came in my life. I was filled with the Holy Ghost in 1967. You've heard me talk about it a lot on the program with Gloria because Gloria and Ken were in that same meeting. But another person and another thing that happened to me in 1967 after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the people who took me to hear Brother Hagin took me also to hear Brother Hilton Sutton, Dr. Hilton Sutton. And it was 1967, and the Jews had gotten back Jerusalem, and Brother Hilton Sutton was excited. And as I went around to those meetings, I listened to him talk about Russia and Iran coming down from the north. I heard him talk about all these nations. And the things that he said were just like indelibly inscribed upon my spirit. And God was preparing me then for the ministry that I have now. He's one of my mentors. And I don't know if you know or not, but Mrs. Sutton, Joanne Sutton, his wife, went home to be with the Lord a few days ago. He was ministering in New York, and she had, I believe it's been called an aneurysm, is that right? And they had time, all the family, to say goodbye, and she went home to be with the Lord. And so I was making some arrangements because of the great blessing that he's been in my life to do something. We've done something this week, but another thing that we're going to do is we're going to make a donation to Hilton Sutton Ministries in the memory of Joanne Sutton. And I would like them to put up the address right now because he is one of the ones that has brought us teaching about the end times and kept this on our... I'm reading back there, Hilton Sutton Ministries, Post Office Box 1259, New Caney, Texas, 77357. Is that correct? And you could just make... The funeral is going to be next Tuesday. And if you would just send a memorial offering in Joanne's ministry, memory, I know it would be a blessing to one of our elders in the faith and in these lines of end times teachings. It'll be a blessing to them, and it'll be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you a little bit about Iran this morning. I tell you, I was shaken last night by that word that came through me. What came through me, I saw more than I said to you. And I saw, here we've got this great United Nations, this meeting, great meeting of the United Nations going on in New York City, and it's taken a turn that it's never had before. It's taken the turn, the heads of state are speaking, and as they stand and speak, they're making declarations out their mouths, which really have to do with spiritual things, all spiritual things. And I heard President Bush, and I heard Ahmadinejad, who is the head of Iran. I heard him openly declare that they're going to go right on. I don't care if they cross their fingers and hope to die. They're going to go on with nuclear plans. No matter how much time we delay or meetings we have or how much dialogue, they're going to go right on with the nuclear plans. And I heard him speak, and I heard him declare at the end that they're waiting for the 12th Imam, who is the perfect person, and they're going to follow him, and he's going to set the world aright. Now, that means they're going to take over the world. And then I didn't hear Chavez, but I was on a conference call with Newt Gingrich and some people that are involved with helping Israel. You cannot imagine the things that I'm in on. I don't know how I got there from that kitchen in Collinsville. I don't know, but anyway, here we are, and we're on this conference call, and this is the first time I heard anyone say that it's like it was in the 1930s. And that Ahmadinejad is like Hitler with nuclear ambitions. But that the world is a lying even with him. And he pointed out that the Japanese in World War II did not have any of the ideology of Hitler. But they all both hated the U.S. And so that is the case with Chavez. He doesn't have the ideology of Ahmadinejad, but they hate us. And he stood up in a diatribe and said yesterday, or when he spoke, Chavez, he said, Satan visited the UN today and spoke in the form of George W. Bush. And you can still smell the stench of hell around here. And they went on to say how terrible we were. Now, I think it's time to wake up and smell the roses and know that the United Nations is not our friend. And they are not going to vote with us and join with us on anything. And they absolutely hate Israel. There is a man who's going to become a king of an African country. He is in line to be the king. And he's been in America, been among us, been at Prayer Mountain. We had prayer for him. And his nation, which still has chieftains, tribal chieftains, he's come to America, he's been born again, and he would like to take them to be a Christian nation. But Islam, even though most of the tribal chieftains are not what you would call Islam, Islam has made such a move in that African country that they are saying to them, if you don't vote like we want you to vote in the UN, we will cut off your oil supply. And so that's happened, and that is what they said, that out of, I think, about 190 nations in the UN, 118 of them are clearly on the side of Ahmadinejad. Interesting times, huh? So I was sitting up here last night, and the Lord, before I spoke out, the Lord showed me that some of the, that God's drawing people to judgment. He's drawing them in. Remember he said with that war between, Brother Sutton taught us so well about for years, between Russia, when Russia comes down from the north and their number one ally is Iran, God said, I'm going to put hooks in your jaws. I'm going to see how you think about Jerusalem, he said in Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14. So last night, what I was sitting up here, and the Lord started talking to me about it, and he said, some of them can't help what they say now. They're not able to help what they say, that out of the poison within them, they're speaking, and their words are going to judge them. And all the world is going to know that they were worthy of judgment. And then he spoke to me about the power in words, every man's word, because we are coming to judgment times. Thank God Jesus stood for us and judged for our sins, but we still go to the judgment seat of Christ, where we will receive the reward for the works done in our bodies. We're going to talk about that more when we talk about the building program, what God's building right now later. Bless the Lord. Oh, things are happening. Whoa, 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 glory to God. But I saw that every man's words are going to be, you better watch what you say, because you're going to get it, you're going to get it fast. Positive and negative. You know that God has kept words toned down and the power in words because they would have brought quick judgment on people? Some of the things you've said and I've said, we would be judged for quicker. But now the power is coming up. We're going to move to another realm in the spirit. And in this realm in the spirit, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I could go off on that, but I'm not going to. Bless the Lord. We want to talk this morning about what has happened since we were together last and what could happen before we get together again. And what to watch, because Jesus said, watch the trees of prophecy. Now, one of the oldest people groups in the Bible is the land we call Iran. And if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 10. Glory to God. I'll tell you what I learned from Brother Hagin while you turn into Genesis 10. He taught every single thing he taught, I heard over and over and over and over again because I did the books from the tapes. I listened to him hundreds of times in 10 years. And I heard him say, don't ever say you're tired. If you say you're tired, tiredness will mount up upon you. And it'll like build a little nest on you and you'll begin to be tired. So years ago, I just decided I'm never ever going to say that. And I don't. And guess what? I am never tired. Never! I am years old. And I've got more energy than you could imagine. When we go on an Israel tour, when we go shopping in the mall, I'm suddenly about, I don't know how far ahead of the young ones trailing back there. And I have to slow down, don't I? But Shelley says there's no need to rush. But anyway, I don't know. I've got a go in me. But let's just think about it. What if the power was turned up and you did say you're tired? I mean, you could get tired fast. So just with little things, I'm going to really be watching it. Now, it is all right to say you're sleepy. Once my pilot said to me, I'm tired, and I've just about flogged him. I said, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. He was from a Baptist background. He thought I was loony. But I explained it all to him, and then he said to me, is it okay to say I'm sleepy? I thought it over and decided it'd be all right. So, but now with the power turned up, you don't want to say you're sleepy in church. Woo! Glory be to God. How to get off on that. Now, Genesis chapter 10. You found it? All right, here's where we hear of the nations. Three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church. Here come the nations. They are introduced to us. The Hebrew word goyim, sometimes translated Gentiles, sometimes nations. Rivka, you know this. You've been in all the eschatology classes. Sometimes Gentiles, sometimes nations, sometimes heathen. But always, it's the word, which I wish the King James would have just said nations. To tell you the real truth, God didn't call people heathens. He called them the nations, the goyim. And now, here we go. Genesis 10. And you can see these are all, look at verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So there's the foundation of the nations. Now they all came from Noah and his three sons and their wives. Here in Genesis 10:1, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And then it begins with the sons of Japhet. And then it goes in verse 6 to the sons of Ham. And then it goes into verse 21 unto the sons of Shem. Shem means name. He is the father of the children of Eber. Eber is where we get the word Hebrew. The brother of Japhet the elder, even to him were children born. Now here are the sons that Shem had. The children of, actually says the sons of Shem were Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. Now, of these 5 sons, Elam is mentioned first. And Elam came to be a family, and then it came to be a tribe. And that is the tribe, that's the first name Iran is known by in the Bible is Elam. So Elam and the history of Iran, one of the most ancient nations, goes all the way back to the son of Noah. Now the son Arphaxad, he's the son that from him came the Jews. Eventually down the line, and also the Arabs. But from Elam, that's the first Bible name that Iran is known by. And in the Bible, also it's known by another name of Persia. In history of Iran, it has had three names. Those two names, Elam and Persia. And then in 1935, the Shah of change the name to Iran. So the modern day name of Iran has only been around since 1935. Ilam. Let's look a little bit into the Bible. Oh, what a rich history this people has in the Bible. And we won't go through all of it right now, but we will go to the fact that it's going to be at the end brought back into on the front pages of the world's papers, and it's going to be brought back by God. So turn with me to Jeremiah. And I told you last night that from here on out, really, we're in times of judgment. Oh, glory, hallelujah, every single thing bad's going to be gone. Isn't that good? So now we're in the process of some of these things. Now, Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, we are told in the New Testament to look at the prophets for the time of the end. Jeremiah 50 and 51 is prophecy about Babylon and the land of the Chaldeans, which is present-day Iraq. There are lots of things you can find out in there about the war even that we're in right now. That's not our subject today. But there are a series of chapters here talking about the trees. Jesus said, when you watch those trees, and when you see them come back on the scene, then you know I'm just about ready to set up the earthly kingdom. Woohoo! They're back on the scene. Now, in chapter 48... just to show you, chapter 48 of Jeremiah, verse 47. Yet will I turn around the captivity of Moab in the end of days, in the latter days. Remember, we said the Hebrew says in the end of days. I will bring again, it means turn around the captivity of Moab, the whole Middle East. All during the time that Israel was dispersed, the whole Middle East was like quiet. It wasn't on the front pages. It was deserts. It was shepherds. It was camels. It wasn't determining the world's course. It did not do that. Two things brought it back to life at the beginning of the 20th century. One was World War I. You heard Mike talk about it last night. The Ottoman Empire had ruled over the Middle East for 400 years. And when the Ottoman Empire came into World War I on the side of the Axis powers with Germany, and they lost the war, they lost what they had held, the East, the Middle East, the Near East as well. And the Allies, England and France, drew the maps and divided the lands that the Middle East calls today Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Israel, they divided those. Now, that woke back up the Middle East. But God already said here hundreds of years ago, this was said about 500, 600 B.C., this was written. So 2,600 years ago, God said, I'm going to bring them back on the scene. And I'm going to do it in the latter days. The second thing that brought them back on the scene was the discovery of oil in their part of the world. And that moved them up again to being on the center stage. I recommend to you, if you're studious, to read the book Zechariah that we have back there. And it explains how even God prophesied in one of Zechariah's visions about oil coming to that area and about it being put to the top of the world scene in Iraq, Babylon. Now, here it says at the end of Jeremiah 48, 47, I will bring again the captivity of Moab. Moab is present-day Jordan in the latter days. This is for the judgment of Moab. The Bible speaks of the judgment of the nations. Then he goes on chapter 49 concerning the Ammonites. Well, that's also a part of Jordan. The capital of Jordan is named what? Ammon. All right. Now, let's look over at chapter 49 and verse 39. It shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Who is Elam? Iran. So here we are told that in the latter days there's going to be Iran back on the scene again. And this, as well as all the other chapters, are for the judgment of Iran. In 1980, and I was thinking about this, and I told Shelley, it happened in my kitchen, in that house. I have a friend, Jim Caseman, and he always, you know, God will deal with you in a pattern, Brother Hagin taught us. And Jim, he used to always get his leadings in Finland. Kind of expensive to have to go to Finland to get your leadings, but it would happen like that. Well, I just remembered when I was doing this lesson, this was the kitchen again. Same kitchen where the sink was. A few years later, 5 or 6 years later, now I'm over by the telephone, 6 steps. Those were before cell phones, you know, and I had this wall telephone and had that long cord so you could take it all over the house. And it was always getting tangled up. And in 1980, I had left Kenneth Hagin Ministries with his blessings. He had ordained me, called me out and ordained me to the ministry. And I had left to preach the gospel. And I got a telephone call in my kitchen. It was a country kitchen, a big kitchen, and kids across the room sitting at a big round oak table. And I lift up this phone, and it was not, hello, how do you do? Nothing. It was a voice. And the voice said, can you do a book in a week? It was Brother Lester Sumrall. You could tell his voice, and he didn't waste mince words, Brother Sumrall, if you knew him. And I said, Brother Sumrall, no one can do a book in a week. He said, you can if you work night and day. That was Brother Sumrall, too. And I said, he said, I've got to get this book out. He said, something has happened and the whole world doesn't know what happened. And I've got to, and Nelson wants 6 months. And he'd heard I quit Brother Hagin. And I'm looking over, he said, just come up here and just help me do this book. It won't take you long. And so my husband could hear him clear across the room, and he was going. I paid no attention to women to obey your husbands. I didn't pay a bit of attention. I knew he was in the flesh at that moment. And so I found myself saying, yes. And I went up, and I had one of the great blessings of my life to work closely with Dr. Lester Sumrall. And again, he put into me those things that are helping me to know what's happening with Ahmadinejad now. And the book we did was this little book. And its name is Jihad. I never had heard that word before. I called up to Lester Sumrall's ministry the other day to see if I could use this on. We're doing a webcast, a weekly webcast, and we do the news in the light of Bible prophecy. And you can tune on to billybrim.org or billybrim.com and watch it. It's just 15 minutes so. And I wanted to read from this book. So I called up there to get permission, and I said, I don't know who to talk to. And they said, would you like to talk to Dwayne Carden? And he was the head of that department publications when I was there in 1980. He's 80 now. His voice just the same, great. And he said to me, Billy, I never had heard that word, jihad. And he said, I don't think anybody had heard that word, jihad. I said, I hadn't heard it. But I'm telling you, Brother Lester was ahead of his time, and I only wish that we'd listened to him. I wish somebody would have taken it to the President Reagan. We did get to do something about that, but I won't tell you that. But anyway, I don't think Jerry Savelle would mind me telling you this, because it was the idea, it was the feeling of a lot of people. He said, Jerry said, I got this book. And he said, I started reading it, a few pages, and he said, I threw it aside. I said, Lester, where do you come up with these ideas? And went on. But you know what? We have to come up. We have to come up to the lick log and admit that we live in this world where 2/3 of this book is prophecy. We need to know a little bit about that prophecy because it's supposed to be coming to pass in our time. And Jesus said, you watch it so you can see and know. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so I'm going to read you a little bit of this book. What had happened at that time is what he talks about right here. Ken makes fun of Gloria and me taking books and reading them. But he's not here this morning. He may be watching at home. Brother Lester said this. This is why he had to get the book out. Iran shocked the world and commanded the attention of its newspaper headlines and broadcast bulletins when it captured the embassy of one of the world's most powerful nations, the USA, on November 4th, 1979, and took hostage 63 citizens of the land of the free. Knowledgeable students of Bible prophecy were the least surprised at that terrible intrusion, because they knew this scripture here. It's coming back. They had been watching for a move from this ancient land. For neither modern Iran nor the Islamic world can escape their past history or future destiny. He wrote this in 1980. Bless the Lord. Now, I think this kind of gets us even today. I'm going to read this page to you too. Don't feel bad when Lester calls us carnal Christians. Webster's New World Dictionary defines jihad as a war by Muslims against unbelievers or enemies of Islam, carried out as a religious duty. Now listen to this statement that he made. What is it, 26 years now ago? Beyond any doubt, among the shifting sands of the Arabian Peninsula, world destiny is being formed. It is very difficult for America to comprehend the vast importance of what is happening in the Near East at this time. From that peninsula, we had 9/11. Iran has made itself the center of jihad. Its total population is in a frenzy. Suddenly, again, emerges the Persian Empire. America's carnal Christians do not realize that the battles of our time are spiritual. In the whole vast world today, the true issues are spiritual. To understand jihad, one must know certain things about Islam. To know those things about Islam, one must know certain things about Muhammad and his times. If ever we could see that the things are not political, but they are spiritual, it was watching those heads of state declare themselves at the United Nations meeting. If you have an opportunity to go on internet and listen and see some of the things or transcriptions, you will be shocked. But now, last night, I saw that it's God leading them into all that declaration of their true identities. Lester lamented the fact that when Muhammad came on the scene, he was born in 570 A.D. and he died in 632 A.D. He was only 62 years old. He had affected the world, and even to now in 62 short years, he had to have a power behind him to do that, a force, and he had it. And Lester said the world was ripe for revolutionary religions such as Islam, and he lamented the fact because Muhammad had been a camel driver in a caravan. And in those caravans, it was like owning a jetliner. And he later married the caravan owner, and he got to travel the world. And he did indeed investigate Judaism, and he did indeed investigate Christianity. And, of course, Lester said it would have been good if somebody would have got him saved. But they didn't. And he incorporated all those things into Islam. He had a series of visions over 23 years. He first went into a cave and claimed that the angel Gabriel spoke to him, and in 23 years, it happened over 23 years, dictated to him the Quran. And sometimes, and I read this in an Arab history book, they weren't ashamed of the fact, when he would get the vision, he would foam at the mouth often. And in the Quran, it is divided into chapters called surahs. And Lester has written for us here some of those surahs. It has 114 surahs or chapters. In the surah 98, 5 through 7 verses, Muhammad taught that Christians, Jews, and idolaters are the worst of all created beings, and that Muslim believers are the best of all created beings. The Quran strictly teaches its followers to love their own believers, but not disbelievers. It encourages Muslims to wage a war called jihad against non-Muslims in the name of Islam. And 26 years before the Pope mentioned it. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what's happening with the Pope? Can you imagine that it is demanded an apology for calling us violent? And if you don't stop it, we shoot nuns and we burn churches. Because we wouldn't want anyone to think we're violent. We must not be afraid. Hallelujah. We have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Psalm 91. And we must not bow our knees to the enemy. He's at work right now. But hallelujah. Chip, of course, has brainwashed his little boy. And he is a sports fan. He plays sports. He's 7 now, but at the time he was doing T-ball. He was how old, Shelley? 5? And they didn't even keep score, but we had to pretend we keep score because he's into winning. He hates losing. And Shelley, we went to the first game, and he wanted to know the name of the other team. Well, it was their sponsor on the back, Ozark Refrigeration. He looked up at his Aunt Shelley with one of those chip looks, and he said, "Ozark Refrigeration, you're going down." Devil, you're going down. Stand up and praise the Lord. Woo! Glory! Glory to the Most High God! Jesus! Say that.
Jesus!
Say it again.
Jesus!
Say it again.
Jesus!
Woo! Now say it like his mother would have said it. Yeshua.
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 Yeshua. You know what Yeshua means? Salvation. Woo! I'm saved. Woo! Do you sense that? Now I'm telling you, Church of the Living God, you need to get over your depression, your touchiness, those little old foxes that do not amount to a hill of beans, and get yourself up in the power and strength of Yeshua HaMashiach and be who you are. I'm going to challenge you in another session to pray 30 minutes a day and ask the Holy Ghost to help you pray about the affairs of this world in tongues. If every single one of us went home and prayed 30 minutes a day in tongues and said, Holy Ghost, help me pray about the affairs of this world, I'm telling you the affairs of this world would change. Just from this meeting. Just from people who know. But we got to do it. We have to quit fussing and fighting. We got to do what's right. Please be seated. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm bold as a lion, harmless as a dove. Inside out, you know I'm walking in God's love. I'm going to walk in love if it hair lips the devil. And I hope it does. Because I want to be powerful. Now, here, right here, Lester dared to put it as a subhead. Bloodshed, the way to sell the new religion. And from the beginning, not just recently, when someone hijacked this peaceful religion, but from the beginning, that's how it was perpetrated. Muhammad didn't have too many believers, and when he finally did get some, he was granted special permission in one of the visions to forcefully overthrow first Medina and others, a Jewish group. He thought the Jews would go with him. They would not, so he went in there and killed them because he was given permission to do so. At the time of his death, 62 years, Muhammad had united almost all Arabia politically and religiously under Muslim control. He turned his thoughts toward Persia and the world. After his death, the enthusiasm of Muhammadism began to rise in fanatical fury. Those near him were determined to carry on his cause. They captured area after area, planted the crescent and the new religion. In less than 25 years, Muhammad's followers had captured Persia, Iran, Syria, Palestine, and Egypt. In less than 75 years, they had taken North Africa and entered Europe through Spain. Only by a miracle of God was it prevented going on up into Europe. Muhammadism had become the dominant power of the world, encompassing all the great empires of past history. Now, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. When Lester wrote this book, Iran, which had been Western, the Shah of Iran, which had been friends with the United States of America, had been overthrown by a man named Ayatollah Khomeini. And how it happened was, Ayatollah Khomeini was a radical Islamic minister, clergy. And he had been preaching radical Islam, and the Shah had thrown him out of the country. And so from exile, even from Paris, he had sent back cassette tapes into Iran, and on the street corners, the people were passing them out, and they grew to be a great number of people called back to the radical faith. Then he came in and led a revolution against the Shah of Iran and took over the nation, and it became the most Islamic-controlled nation that we know on earth right now. Well, Saudi Arabia too, but they still have the royalty. And so the Ayatollah Khomeini took it over. How many of you remember that? And when the Ayatollah Khomeini took it over, then they captured our people out from the embassy and overthrew our embassy. and attacked the United States of America. They made their claims that they would take over the world. Now listen to this. This is under a subheading, Lester, called World Dominance. A Muslim leader recently said, quote, "Unless we win London to Islam, we will fail to win the whole of the Western world." So they marked out London. And Lester pointed this out 26 years ago. And if you go to London, you can see it today. The whole of the... They even own Harrods. And the whole of the Western world is the ambition of the Muslim world. In London, there are some, and he wrote this in 1980, 300,000 Muslims today. They have 33 mosques scattered over the city. The central mosque and Islamic cultural center was built recently in Regent's Park in London at a cost of $7.5 million. That is the place that Osama bin Laden used to recruit from Regent's Park. It's interesting that Lester even named the place 26 years before, but our leaders could have listened, but they didn't. It is possible that the nations of the West have not yet begun to realize the confrontation that is before them. For jihad is the religious duty of the world's Muslims and the taking over of the world. I won't read all of this to you. And I don't even know if the book is now available. Is it, Bob? Do we have it on our table? We can live in a realm in the Holy Spirit. Only in the Holy Spirit. Where we know what's going to happen before it happens. The Bible says He will show you things to come. Pastor Terry Pearson's has piqued my interest in Jude. And it's a last time prophecy. And it says you are going to protect yourselves in the last days, keep yourselves, guard yourselves by two things: praying in tongues and walking in love. Those are the two things that are going to guard you. Now that's going to bring you to a realm of... I don't know if she has any tapes out on it, do you? I don't know, maybe she should preach that here at this church and you should get some tapes out on it, because I know God's calling us to pray in tongues and walk in love. And on this realm of walking in the Spirit, the Ayatollah Khomeini... I know the prophecy so well that I kind of think I was in the meeting, but maybe I wasn't in the meeting, I just know the prophecy. Brother Copeland prophesied that he was going to die. And that when he did, it was going to change things. You remember that? How many of you remember that? You remember the prophecy? How many of you remember the prophecy? You don't remember the prophecy? You have got to find that prophecy. Do you remember it, don't you, Glow? Ken remembers it. Please call over, Ken. Lynn Hammond remembers it, and I remember it. And then I was driving out to Western Oklahoma to do a meeting, lots of hours. And as I was driving, the Lord said to me, "I want you to watch the news this week." Now, if I'm going to preach on the glory of the Lord or something, I don't watch the news. He said, "Something's going to happen that will be a catalyst and will put things into high gear in the last days." So, while I'm at the meeting preaching, I watch the news. Ayatollah Khomeini died. And when he died, I know how Middle Eastern funerals are, because all the Middle Eastern people, Jews as well, if you are living in Israel when you die, you need to go to the earth to earth, fast, So they don't put you in, embalm you, you get buried the same day. They don't put you in a big old $15,000 vault to keep you from going back to the earth. I never forget when I was at Chulamit Katznelson's brother's funeral, and he was the minister of justice of the whole nation of Israel, and he died, and she asked me to stand with the family, and they brought him out in this wooden box, little pine box-like, and over the top of it was the flag of Israel, and he was wrapped in a flag of Israel, and I was standing here, and they slipped him out of that little box into the earth. I jumped. So I know how Middle Eastern funerals are. Well, I saw this Tehran, the capital of Iran, and this funeral, and they had the Ayatollah Khomeini up here, and there were millions, maybe 10 million people. And it's swaying like this. And they're saying, "Our Father, our Father, our Father." And suddenly, he falls out of the box. And the screen goes black. And you don't see anymore. Because he got trampled. So, the Lord said to me, "Do you want to know where he is?" Well, I figured hell. It's not my business to say who goes to hell and who doesn't, but there are a few I'm practically certain are there. And let's turn to Isaiah 24. Ching! Isaiah 24 is a chapter about judgment. And I really didn't know so much about this chapter until the Lord told me where to look. And this is a time that has to do when the earth is judged. Look at Isaiah 24:5. "The earth also is defiled under its inhabitants, the inhabitants thereof, because," here's the reason why, "they have transgressed thee," and this says in the Hebrew, Torah, God's laws. "They changed the ordinance, and they broke the everlasting covenant." Psalm 105, 9 and 10 tells you what the everlasting covenant is, and it's God's covenant with Israel for the land. So the nations are judged because they break God's covenant with Israel for the land. Do you believe me that that's what that says? I believe we better look over there. It's so important, such an important. Hold your fingers right here and go to Psalm 105. Everlasting means what? Everlasting means it's still going. Psalm 105. I'm glad that God keeps his promises to the Jews. I know he keeps them to me. Psalm 105, 9 and 10. Well, we better go with verse 8. "He hath remembered his covenant forever." And this is the covenant with, you'll see. "The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant." Israel has an everlasting covenant with God. "Saying," here is what it says, "Unto thee I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance." Now God says the nations are going to get judged for breaking that covenant. Look here at Isaiah 24:5. "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because," three things, "they broke God's laws, they changed the ordinance," that's God's ordinance, "and they broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are," in the Hebrew it says, "found guilty." Now, go on down, and you'll see that this is really looking toward a future time when earth will be shaken and moved and judged. And thank God we'll get a new heaven and a new earth. But look at verse 21. "And it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. These are the high demons. These are the demons in high places. They're going to be judged, but also he's going to judge the kings on the earth. I wouldn't want to be a king on the earth. I wouldn't want to be a head of state unless I was going to get in this book and devour it and go by it. Now, verse 22, they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. In other words, there's a special compartment of hell, is what God showed me. That's a prison, and it's for the kings of the earth that lead nations into disobedience to God, their creator. And in that compartment, they are shut up and held until, and some of them have been held there a long time, after many days, until the final judgment comes of the nations. After many days they shall be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when Jehovah of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Woo! Turn to Isaiah 52. Say glory.
Glory.
I love Isaiah 52 and 53. Most people consider Isaiah 53 the chapter that tells about what the Lord bore for us, but actually it starts in Isaiah 52. And men put the chapter headings in. I like to read this chapter in the Hebrew translation to English because they get it right. They don't say griefs and sorrows, they say sickness and pains. Do we have that Bible with us on our book table? Maybe we do. You could buy a good translation. And I read this chapter whenever I take communion, and I take communion often. I read this chapter about his taking my sickness and my pain. But I always start at verse 13 because of chapter 52, because that's where the word starts. You see that little black paragraph marker there? That is where the word starts, the utterance. These things came to Isaiah in utterances. And when you see it begins here. They'll make a new paragraph. They'll make a beginning. Sometimes it's the same utterance, but it has a paragraph marker, and that's it. So here's where this great, wonderful prophecy of our Lord starts. Behold, my servant shall deal... Actually, here's what it says in the Hebrew. My servant shall prosper. That's what the Hebrew says. That means he's going to prosper in his work for God. It's talking about Jesus, the Messiah. My servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than that of any man, and his form more than any of the sons of men. When he was lying, his body dead in that tomb, you couldn't even tell. My husband and Lynn Hammond both had a vision of Jesus in that tomb. And Kent told me and Lynn told me he could hardly tell he was a man. But, verse 15, so he shall sprinkle many nations. Now here's the line I get happy over. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. You heard them spewing off at that United Nations meeting. Even last year, Ahmadinejad said a light came on him and the whole audience was hypnotized when he spoke. Shut your mouth, Ahmadinejad. Shut your mouth at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You could read in your Bible, Ezekiel 38 and 39, which tells about an alliance between Russia and Iran, Persia, coming down from the north into the land brought back from the sword Israel, and you can see who wins the war. God does it with hailstones and earthquakes. And I'm telling you, folks, the Lord God of Elijah is showing himself strong right now. I see these judgments. When he spoke to me back up here last night about what was really happening, I saw him with hooks in their jaws. I saw him bringing them to the front to expose themselves. Hallelujah. The Most High God. They will shut their mouths at him. Ayatollah, whoever is down in that pit, Hitler, Ivan the Terrible, whoever, you're going to be brought up and shut your mouth. And now, what if Friday night, stay away from church, if you do not want to sit and wait on God? Because we are going to sit and wait on God. We are going to have a watch night service because it's the true new year on the God calendar. It is the anniversary date of the creation of man. And God's getting ready to do things with man. Woo! I can't wait. We're going to sanctify ourselves and come apart. 3 days, that's what he said last night. Tell them to sanctify themselves and come apart. Don't be doing anything questionable in the next 3 days. Don't be watching anything questionable. Sanctify yourself. Cleanse yourself with the blood and the word. Come before him Friday night. Because the king's got some orders for his army. He's got some revelation to give to us. And you're here because God wanted you here. Shelley and I, we can just flow with Mark. You know, there's all kinds of good musicians, but when you've been working with someone for 20-some years, you're bound to hit a few streams. And Mark was sent here. God told him to come here. Mark Wilhite. Chip, you're here. God told you to come. And God told me to come. I'm not going to wait before him. But it's real. R-E-A-L, real. It is not just a storybook. It's not just a history book. It's not just a hope. It may happen this way. It's happening this way. And the kings are just spouting off before their mouths get shut. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he lets me live at this time. And I'm so glad he let me come to this place. This New Year's. What if you only had one more year on earth? What if? How would you live? Bless the Lord, Pastor.
Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just begin to lift your hands to the Lord right now. We are being informed. We are being enlightened. We are being educated. We are being prepared for prayer. We're being placed in a position, in the know, in a place where we are not ignorant about the things that are going on around us. Thank you, Father, for revealing. Thank you, Lord, for uncovering. And thank you, Father, for the awesome responsibility that you've given to us in praying over these things and watching over these things. Begin to pray in tongues right now. Randalamanse brodono mokoso kotiana namasate. Hinamangili dirvireshkom brandalavese koraboshengro godamosete. Ison devi ste kidionda. Asanama kese istonanamokose. Ingredin gananamose bradeshe krogosengoremoseke. Ilagragadananamakamarate. Moronamakashakara debaseke.
Pray. Lift up your heart. Lift up your heart. With purpose. On purpose. Adoreste. Don't be light about it. Be on purpose. Zandoste ere teselo fo komocha ed esin don don de sa farnomo sa zizele levo sha sandose e vene hele o komo san zizaste nato soze zizasono gele le la 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 kashodatsi Kedenizon zizas ozozo simbede di jola maratan. Dare di diseso sole mastasti. Le che farro mono nozo sin zanzazo sizasa. Elo todo shea la comorro mozo sinze. Andozo senge beredine ne shelopa. Nore de disto ela facono namasan zinzile venomai. Mine evra non omo shala kapa sanse, a hungre a so sozo levaramo cosons endiveriatan. Le doro mo de deliste a ramono coyozon zizasitata. Le prado delle avoneniha, oh, e che nemos sin zestofan. Afaro mo le apa, main de evra ragasto in the main efroste. The main alovro massa zizasi. Zanzo zesi li veve omashaza san le todo dele akasonati ando desha la la varomo kosize si zinza si zose torakasha le le sozo zesi bada dashta yenan olo bo 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 si ala kotrajati Son derato se aleverini nisho zasanotan elo varananazo sandatan Ando ondo robo sia lavro shtakana. Hado sia lavani shea la kumo sinze. Hado se zize renite ashtonama. Lord, elevrobo bo zele kifashano se sia sta. Lord, elevromo katstan. Horata se zisi zo celebra ama shalolo moko yose sinda dalo ke arama ka. Nisan zo zo se ziza sando diatal. Sando do diadar abrobo monisha levo rosaka. Kare sheleli avoromo go sizi si alalavo o se sanan. Nando rabarata sa. Dasho dere di sen ziza sa zo satana. Kare di di zo solo vone nisha sa. Kare de levo vomo ni kishti varan. Sadzora tashta dasti. Hado di disse si zabonde ekle bro bleva ni mosta. Ado geleba sona ma papando borre bono hole. Lone elevra baba si siatan. Crege bereso sin zize levarano no shazia san. Zose zi saladon lo loco moregi bashia kayata. Grace is a siki bashta. Grace is a saza bashtasi. Grace is a sobo bastina ta. Grace is a lobro boba sashta. Grace is a bobo geni. Grace is a basho zostana tane. Kiso deva de obo. Bleng ereva mono sizia sa. Vende elevra bobo nene matzen de bro. Braz elebra gashazo so 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 sezi sasa. Edo robo bobo satarabashta sa. Elo do robo ho. Hol ekefe no mashta sasasi. Nato zisi ala lovoro mogo bon zisi sia sando shteata. Rea so zisi kisha zazo so zesen di avramatan. Levo momo momo si zisi adarada daza sindo dev. Sazo se si si se si so potista yata.
Ingiri di borabaka sataragase. Hina makasi koroboshto koro da brabata lavasa barabakash. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, and far above all every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ho namakashta. O ramase berevishe ketiana namasata. Inamakasa manamasheto. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Sange besh terona kahane mase doro gosata. Idana nama sandele geste kedia. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the authority. O ramas alamash te kele bokarana masa. The things that we have been taught have prepared us for such a time as this. The authority of the believer has been taught to us for this end time. The authority in the name has been taught to us. The power of our words has been taught to us. These things that we have heard over the years have not just been topics, have not just been subjects, have not just been something to teach as a Bible study, but there has been an orchestration and a preparation that has been going on and on and on and on. And we are now at the precipice. We are now on the edge. We are now in the place where these things go beyond just the personal use of our lives, but now they go on where my end time return is concerned. All of this now is being taught, and we are being trained for the end times, preparing for the rapture, preparing for the millennium, preparing for the rule of eternity. We are now at the very edge of time, stepping over on into a place where we've never been before, the ruling and the reigning. The place of ruling and reigning. Ruling and reigning. We are there. Glory to God. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Father. There are more and more ministers, pastors, evangelists that will be teaching out of the prophetic realm, teaching their congregations. The word that I gave to Oral Roberts, my servant, that we as the church have just been coming in and doing our little old thing. No, we're speaking unto realms. We're speaking unto principalities. We're speaking through the people beyond these doors and beyond these gates into spheres, into realms and into places affecting change. Begin to recognize when your pastor is preaching to you and your pastor is preaching through you. Begin to recognize that, because he's going to be doing it more and more and more. You will feel words shoot through you, shoot through your spirit. You'll be a conduit, a carrier of that word by the faith that you exercise in your services, and that word will shoot through you like an arrow, and it will go on and it will burn into places. It will root out, it will pluck up, it will destroy, it will build, it will create. And it's going to be happening more and more and more, because there is a fire in our bellies. A fire in our bellies to do the work of God in the earth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, bless His name. Oh, bless His name. Bless His name. Lord, we prepare ourselves over these next few days, especially, Father, for Friday night. We prepare ourselves, Lord, by praying in tongues. Precious, precious gift. We prepare ourselves by setting aside the things of the world. We sanctify ourselves to come into a place with you. Oh, Father, we pray where Friday night is concerned, for the moving of the Spirit among us here. Roshtein gebedevisi torokosa. And thank you, Father, for your precious Holy Spirit who lives and dwells and resides in our hearts to lead and guide and uncover and show the things that are to come. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You are dismissed.